Father, for the opportunity to worship you and to praise you and to magnify your name. We honor you. We lift up your name. We exalt you in this place, not in just this building, but in our hearts, in our minds. We worship you and magnify your name. We want to praise you and bless your name. You are worthy to be praised. We honor you and glorify your name. Thank you, Father. We don't take it lightly that you are here, that you show up in the midst of our praise, in the midst of our worship, that you manifest yourself where your name is lifted up. And we thank you for it, Father, and worship you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. Hallelujah. We are going to be talking tonight about deciding to worship and praise God. Deciding to worship and praise God. Some time ago, I heard someone say this, that those who want to move people in society in a certain direction endeavor to control three things: the media, the movies that come out, and the music that's available. People can be are moved by the media that they listen to, the movies that they watch, and the music that they hear and that they choose to listen to. And so music is a very powerful thing. The songs that we sing are very powerful. We embrace those without realizing it when we're singing songs, whatever kind it is. So it's important that we choose the right kind of music. When I was in the world, I listened to certain kind of music, and when I got saved, I changed that because it didn't lift up God, and it didn't build my faith, and it didn't, the kind of music I listened to, you had to play it backwards to get back everything they said you didn't have anymore. And so very important what kind of music that you listen to. And it's important to listen to the words. Some songs have a really neat sound. But if you listen to the words, you find out the words are saying things that are not building your faith. They're not strengthening you. They're not lifting you up. They're not glorifying God. And so I realize tonight that I might be saying some things that some of you might look at me kind of funny, and you kind of act like I walked into your living room without permission. But I'm here tonight to tell you that it is important that we decide to be worshipers of God, to be praisers of God. We were created to praise God. We were created to worship God. And so God is looking for this. Something else that I just noticed this, and that those of us who are a little older in the faith, I don't mean age-wise, I'm talking about we've been in the faith for a while. Sometimes we need to be reminded of what true worship and praise is, and we need to be stirred up to enter into worship and praise and not just let somebody else do it for us. How many of you can say amen to that? Amen. And then there are those of us that are not so old in the faith. We're kind of new in the faith. You're looking around and you're having awesome time, but you're not sure what you're supposed to be doing. And so those that are new in the faith need to know what the Word of God has to say about worship and praise, and need to be encouraged to enter in, that it's okay to enter in and worship God. And so Psalm 67, we'll go there first tonight. And I don't know, I've got enough notes on this subject to take us through a month of Sundays. But so we won't get through it. But we want to establish a couple of things tonight. First of all, Psalm 67, verse 5 and 6 says this, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. And let then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. It's after we worship and praise. It's after we give praise. Then the earth shall yield her increase. Sometimes I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to go along here with some of these things. I'll inject some things in and so forth. But sometimes when things are not producing like they need to, we need to check up on our worship and praise level. Because it is after worshiping and praising God that the increase comes that God has promised. And so we need to be worshipers and praisers of God, not just because we're after increase, but we're aware of the principle, but He is worthy of our praise. Sometimes, you know, I don't believe that you're going to get much just because you're going to praise God, so I'm going to praise God so I get increase. No, my friend, the reason I'm telling you this is because sometimes we're just not as our praise and worship level of just who God is and what He's done and what He's doing for us. It's just not up there like it needs to be. And so consequently, what we have, we don't have the right atmosphere around us that needs to be in order for things to happen. And so it's okay tonight. Also, let me just say this. It's okay tonight to say amen or absolutely right or go for it, preacher, or whatever you want to say. It's okay. You know, you don't have to be quiet tonight. You know, that's not a requirement for being here tonight. All right. Matter of fact, we'll get through this faster if you get a little louder. Amen. And so, also, John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 makes this statement. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. So we see in the Old Testament and the New Testament both, we can have many scriptures. I just chose those two to begin with. There are many scriptures that advocate or instruct us to be worshipers of God, to be praisers of God. If we don't do anything else, let's at least worship God. Let's at least be somebody that praises God. Amen. We might not be the smartest cookie in the package, but I want to tell you, we can still all worship God. We might not be the most talented, but we can still worship God. We might not have the greatest ability, or we might not be the most noticed person, but we can still praise God. We can still worship God. Amen? And so I want to encourage you with that. Charles Trumbly made this statement in his book, Praise in Action. He said, the secret, if there is one, of all the faithful men of God, and you know, you would use that word men to include men and women, he's of God in the Bible, was their ability to praise God when the going got tough. They weren't any different in nature, human strength, or personality than we are, except that whenever they found themselves in a tight situation, they invariably cast themselves upon the Lord through praise. Somehow, now listen to this, somehow it lifted them out of their little world into God's great big one. I got to read that last statement again. Somehow it lifted them out of their little world into God's great big one. Oh, I got to read that again. I want to tell you something. There's just something about that statement that just helps us to understand all of a sudden, maybe there's a whole lot more that's available than what we've been experiencing or living. Isn't that right? So let me read it one more time. If you don't want to hear it, just let me hear it. All right. Somehow, it lifted them out of their little world into God's great big one. Hallelujah. So you see, we ought to be ready. I want you to know something. You need to get ready because God wants to download some tremendous truths about the value of praising and worshiping Him that will change your life. It'll change your life. You see, actually, when you get down to it, our future is to be a worshiper and a praiser of God. Revelations talks about the multitudes that are praising and worshiping God. That's our future. There's a lot of people, unfortunately, that think that's okay for heaven, but not for earth, while we're on earth. And while we're on earth, we got to work. In heaven, we'll have time to praise God. You see, and so sometimes they're reluctant to enter into something that they're destined to do. But I want to tell you, we ought to get used to it now. That way the noise won't bother us up there. That way we can lift our voice with confidence because, hey, we've been doing it for a little while. We've been practicing for the great choir of heaven. You see, they're going to let me in that choir when I get there. I know I'm not allowed in this one, but there's one in heaven I'm going to get into because I'm practicing now. Glory to God. And I know what you're thinking too. Some of you are thinking, oh yeah, you're going to be clear in the back row. No, no, no. I'm going to be worshiping God. I'm going to be praising God. Somehow, those who worship and praise God out of their heart unto God, it becomes a beautiful noise and it blends in with everything else that's being sung, everyone else. And I want to tell you something. It's going to be a glorious time. But I want to tell you something tonight. We ought to start getting in on it now. There's nothing in the Bible that says we have to wait. You can get in on it now. It's okay to lift your voice and to worship God and to praise God. It's okay to have a hallelujah time. And so we need to realize that our future is already told in the Bible, foretold in the Bible. We're going to be worshipers and praisers of God. You say, you mean for eternity? Listen to me. Get used to it. I don't know what else you'll do, but I guarantee you one thing you'll do is worship and praise God. Because He's worthy. And whatever you do up till now will seem not near enough as to what He deserves. Hallelujah. As we look into the Bible, we'll find out that worship and praise is a characteristic of God's people. The first mention of worship in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 5. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 5. And it says, "And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.'" This was where God had told Abraham to offer up his promised son, Isaac. And it's interesting that the first place of worship is connected with giving. Don't get quiet on me. Somebody ought to be shouting and somebody ought to be having a hallelujah time on that. It's connected with obeying God. Don't get quiet on me on that one either. I'll tell you, I'm just going to give you a heads up. There'll be plenty of opportunities to get quiet, but if you'll choose to get loud, nobody will know it was about you. Actually, if the truth be known, I'm preaching this to myself. And you get to listen. And you get in on it. Glory to God. I'm just stirring myself up. Maybe it'll stir some of you up too. Glory to God. The word worship that's used there in the Hebrew is a word that means to be prostrate. It doesn't mean to be in some kind of a demonstrative act of worship of some kind. It means to be prostrate before God, to be to do something that would demonstrate that God is worthy to be praised and that we are honored to worship Him. And then the word praise is mentioned in Genesis chapter 29, verse 35. It's interesting that worship is mentioned in the Bible before praise. Sometimes we think praise and worship, but really in the Bible, you know, I think it's worship comes is mentioned here first. And so praise is mentioned in Genesis 29, 35, and said, it says in verse 35, and she conceived again and bore a son, and she said, now I will praise the Lord. And therefore she called his name Judah, and then she stopped bearing. And so we see that this word, Hebrew word praise, is a word that means literally to hold out the hand. To hold out the hand. To extend the hand. What do? We get in on that, don't we? I can remember a 10-year-old boy walking down a country road alone and lonely and afraid. But I called out to God, and I noticed something weird going on with me. I couldn't figure it out because I'd never heard of it, never saw it before. But I found myself with my hands extended to God that I was calling out to. And the presence of God came upon me. And I got saved that night. I didn't really understand it all, but you see, to worship is to revere, or to worship with extended hands. In the Old Testament, we see that the Psalms is referred to as the songbook of Israel. They had a songbook. They would praise God. They would worship God with many of the psalms that were there. In the New Testament, Ephesians 5:18 talks about singing songs of songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And we need to realize then that all throughout the Bible, we're encouraged to worship God, to praise God. We see that as you study history, you'll find out that every time that there was an outbreak of God moving, songs, new songs was a part of it. Songs came out of the Reformation and the Renaissance periods that people like Martin Luther wrote, and John Wesley and Charles Wesley wrote many songs. We have modern hymns that are in your songbooks. If you look in your seat there behind, in front of you there, you'll find hymn books filled with songs that people have written, like Fanny Crosby and the Gaithers and all kinds of people. I don't know a lot of them just offhand, but I want to tell you, every generation seems to bring the music, and every move of God has music that comes forth out of it. Praise and worship is a characteristic of God's people. And then many Christian songs arise out of the difficulties of life that people go through. Sometimes it's reflective of the culture that they're of the people. We have quartets and Southern gospel music that come up out of a lot of that, you know, if you study the history of that, you'll find out it was families singing on the porch. That's how it started. Families would get together and sing on the porch and make music on the front porches. We don't know much about front porches anymore. We have a lot of black spiritual songs that came out of the deep trials that black people went through. And songs that cried out to God in the midst of difficult times. Songs that had a lot of meaning. Songs that reflected what they felt in their heart. Today we have all kinds of Christian music. Some people refer to it as Christian music wars, because some think this ought to be and some think that ought to be. Some people think Christian rock is of the devil. Well, you got rap music. Some people say, well, I don't believe that's of God. Well, they might say the same thing about your hymns or something like that. Of course, I think, you know, they discriminated. It's all hims and no hers. Anyway, it's a sad attempt at humor. I remember coming into the Charismatic Renewal, and they sang spiritual courses, scriptural courses. They would take a verse in the Bible and put music to it. And everybody could sing it, you know. I mean, it wasn't hard at all. And it's a great way to learn verses in the Bible. Today, I still know verses from the Bible simply because I kept singing it all the time. And so we have that. And a lot of those verses, those songs, you know, moved over into what we have now. More contemporary music. A lot of that music reflected the Pentecostal and charismatic spirit-filled culture in which it came out of. But you know, those denominations, they looked over the fence a little bit and said, "We're not sure about all that, but we'll take your music." And so some of them are singing, you know, some of that music in there. And so I remember the first time that first church I pastored after I had graduated from Rhema was a Methodist church 17 miles out in the country. And it was an older church. It was how many of you have ever seen the white church with the steeple on it, and you got the evergreens there, and you got the little graveyard right beside it? How many of you have seen that, pictures of that? Well, that was the church I pastored. And in the history of it, Wilbur Wright, the Wright brothers' father, was a Methodist bishop, and he had dedicated that church in its beginning, and they were very proud of that. They were probably more proud of their history, if I can say it kindly, than they were excited about their future. And Sunday morning, I left it pretty much alone. It was just all hymns, and I know the song leader was the only other spirit-filled person in the church other than my wife and I. He and his wife were spirit-filled, and he wanted to introduce more, and I said, "Well, let's start with Sunday evening and a smaller group of people, and let's just see what happens." And well, it wasn't long before the Sunday school superintendent, who had been the man who was Sunday school superintendent for 40 years in that church, I mean, he was longer Sunday school superintendent in the church than I was old. He came shuffling up to me, you know. I don't mean that disrespectfully. He just kind of walked like this, you know. Kind of shuffled up to me, and he kind of quiet was, and he said, "Brother Marvin, I don't much care for those praise courses that we're singing on Sunday evening." And I said, "Brother Will, what's the matter?" I said, "What's the matter? Is there something wrong? Did we do something wrong?" And he said, "I worship God in my heart." But see, now what I'm telling you tonight is this. It's not about style. It's about you worshiping God out of your heart in a way that you can bless the Lord. In a way that you can worship God and exalt Him in your life. Maybe the person next to you doesn't do it the way you do it, and maybe you don't necessarily care for the style that they use, but I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Worship God out of your heart. That's the most important thing. Amen? And so, turn with me to Psalms 102. Psalms 102, verse 16. I'm going to read through verses 16, 17, and 18. It says this, "For the Lord shall build up Zion." Zion is a type of the church. "He shall appear in glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise this prayer." Now look at verse 18. It says, "This will be written for the generation to come." Now listen to this. "That a people yet to be created may praise the Lord." Amen. I want to tell you something. The things that have been written in the Bible are for a people that hadn't been created yet, but when they come, they should be able to praise God. That tells me this, that every generation, listen to this, every generation has been assigned to praise and worship God. And see, now listen to me, it's not so much that God is lacking praise and worship in heaven and somehow he's just not able to do what he needs to do, and he needs a certain amount of praise in order for him to do something. Listen to me, God is the same whether we praise him or not. His level of power is just the same whether we praise him or not. But you see, what happens is that praise and worship changes us. Something happens to us. And that is this, our relationship with God is enhanced. Our relationship with God improves. Our relationship with God becomes such that God wants to be involved in our lives. And so our conversation changes. Instead of being gripers and complainers and murmurers and groaners, we become praisers and worshipers of God. How many of you have had some opportunities just today to be a griper and a complainer or a murmurer, or, you know, something went wrong and you had opportunity to make an observation? I want to tell you something. You see, what we need to do is get to the level where we are praisers and worshipers of God and not sometimes praise and worshipers of God and sometimes groaners and moaners and gripers and complainers. Because you see, James said the two ought not come out of the same mouth. You see, our faith works better when we're worshipers of God and praisers of God and learn to praise God instead of being critical, instead of griping and complaining all the time. But keep worshiping God, keep praising God. Philippians 4:8 tells us a list of things that we ought to think about. And then he says, it ends it this way. He said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had to practice that. How many of you have had to practice that? That tells me that praise is one of the standards of godly thinking. If it's the standard of godly thinking, then it's also the standard of godly talking, godly conversation. Because our thinking influences our talking. And so you see, if you want to learn to control your confession so that you're always speaking the word of God, increase your praise to God. Increase your worship to God. Listen, my friend, there's going to be days when you don't understand. It just doesn't all compute. You don't understand what all's going on. Why am I going through what I'm going through? You don't have to know why, all the whys. But I'll tell you one thing you do need to know, and that is this. No matter what happens, I ought to be worshiping and praising God. In the midst of the trial, I'm going to be worshiping God. In the midst of the fire, I'm going to be worshiping and praising God. When they talk bad about me, I'm going to worship and praise God. When it doesn't seem like I got enough, I'm going to be worshiping and praising God. When I don't feel good, then I'm going to be worshiping and praising God. When I haven't seen the answer to my prayer, I'm still going to be worshiping and praising God. When God doesn't come through like I think he ought to, I'm still going to be worshiping and praising God. When all of them around me are against me, I'm still going to praise and worship God. When the enemy tempts me, I'm going to be quick to praise God and to worship God. Why? Because I want to tell you, it keeps me on my faith. It keeps me from saying things I shouldn't say that I have to repent for. I'm going to be a worshiper of God. Now listen to this. You see, Psalms 95. Let's look at this. And as you're turning there, I want you to hear this statement. Every believer must decide that they will worship and praise God. You decide. It's your decision. You don't have to, but it sure would benefit you if you did. Look at Psalms 95, verses 1 and 2. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing to the Lord. Then it says, let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Look at verse 6. Verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Notice all the let us there. And we're not talking about the kind that's in the garden. We're talking about you and I deciding we're going to get ourselves worshiping God. My will is involved. Let us. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. My will is involved. I've decided to be a worshiper. I've decided to be somebody that praises God. I've decided that instead of talking bad about somebody when they don't do what I think they ought to, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to praise God. When somebody's a scoundrel, I'm going to worship and praise God anyway. When my circumstances are difficult and I'm working hard and don't see much fruit from it yet, I'm going to be a worshiper. And I'm going to decide I'm going to be a worshiper and a praiser of God anyway. When I didn't get the raise that I was promised because of whatever reason, I'm going to be a worshiper and a praiser of God. Whenever God comes through in a big way, I'm not going to forget who caused the blessing. I'm going to be a worshiper and a praiser of God. I'm not going to let the blessing move me out of the position of being a praiser and a worshiper of God. Whether it's good or bad, I'm going to be a worshiper and a praiser of God. Whether I'm stepping high or bending low, I'm going to be a worshiper and a praiser of God. When I'm moving forward or have to hold still, then I'm going to be a worshiper of God. When life seems like it's all on hold, or whether I'm advancing with mighty big steps, I'm going to be a worshiper and a praiser of God. Amen. Whether I get chosen or rejected, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to worship the one who's already accepted me. I'm going to praise him anyway. See, our it's not about our feelings and our emotions, although they get involved once we get started. But you don't be a worshiper and a praiser of God just because you feel like it. You don't be a worshiper or praiser of God because emotionally you're charged. You don't become a worshiper of God or praiser of God just because you feel like that's your preference. Or that's your strong talent. It takes no talent to lift your voice and begin to proclaim the goodness of God. Anybody can do it. Listen to me. I believe that sometimes the reason God has me speak on this, I've talked about worshiping and praising God a number of times. I believe that the reason God has me to speak on that, I mean, knowing that I can't really sing very well or whatever, but I want to tell you, and that is this, I want you to get this lesson. If I can do it, anybody can. Anybody can. It doesn't matter whether you please the person next to you. It doesn't matter whether you can keep time and clapping just right. There's been many times I was clapping on my own beat and everybody else was trying to find it. That's the way it looked to me. I'm kind of like the guy that was playing guitar and his hand was up here. He held it in one position and he was plunking one string and that's all he did. Finally, the head person on the place where he was trying to play at came over and said, "Hey, do you have a problem?" He said, "Why are you not moving around and everything like the rest of them are?" He said, "I already found my place. The rest of them are still looking." You understand? Listen to me. If I can praise and worship God, so can you. That church where I pastored, that Methodist church, there was a farmer there. He was the largest, he had the largest dairy herd in the county. He was also facing bankruptcy and going through a lot of things financially. And he was a depressed person. And I went to try to minister to him. And he was incidentally the son of the 40-year Sunday school superintendent. And so anyway, so I talked to him about it. I said, he said, you know, he said, I can feel that depression come on me. And he said, I just have to go to the house. I'm not able to do anything. I just have to go to the house for the rest of the day and sleep it off. And I just don't do anything. And I said, have you tried worshiping and praising God? He said, I'd rather die than sing a song. He's dead today. Not instantly, not right away. He lost the farm. I couldn't get him to the place of being a worshiper and praising of God, praiser of God. Tonight I want to tell you, decide to worship and praise God. Let it be an act of faith. Even if you don't know the proper things, ins and outs of faith, let me tell you something. Worshiping God is never wrong. Praising God is never out of place. Maybe you don't know the right verse, but you know the right God. Worship Him. Magnify His name. Abraham didn't have perfect faith, but the thing that kept him going is he built an altar everywhere he went, and he worshiped God. Until the next revelation came along and the message became clearer and more clear. And finally he understood and he was able to believe like he needed to believe, and the Son came. But prior to being a man of strong faith, the Bible says he gave glory to God. And he grew strong in faith. Maybe you're not real strong tonight. Maybe you're teetering in your faith tonight. I'm not going to give you something real hard tonight. Stand to your feet if you would. I'm not going to give you something real hard. Maybe you're kind of teetering on your faith. Maybe things haven't happened the way you understood, thought they would. I'm going to encourage you to get beyond that kind of thinking. And I want you to just decide tonight, I'm going to be a worshiper of God anyway. I don't understand everything, but I'm going to worship God. How many of you, by the lifting of your hands, are making a decision tonight? I'm going to be a worshiper of God anyway. I'm going to be a praiser of God in the name of Jesus. No matter what happens, I'm going to be a worshiper of God. I know this much, that God is a good God. And I know this much, He doesn't have to change, and I need to change. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes the best thing you can do to get on the fast track of change in your life is to increase your praise and your worship to God. Let's just take a moment right now. Let's just worship Him. He's worthy. He's worthy. Sing something. Let's just worship Him and sing.
Your praise will ever be on my lips.
Yes, worship
Him. On my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
Oh, forget about the neighbor. Forget about those around you. Just center in on God. Forget about your trials. Forget about your problems. Forget about the circumstances for a moment. Just worship God.
Your praise.
Worship God. Praise Him.
Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips.
Yes, we worship You.
You will be praised. You will be praised.
Yes.
With angels and saints
praise.
You will be praised.
my lips. Hallelujah. See, sometimes you got to quit being concerned about what's proper. I'm talking about what other people think is proper. You got to quit being so time conscious. And you got to make it a place where it's just you and God. You and God. You and God. And you're the worshiper. He's the one to be worshipped. He's the one to be praised. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can do it aloud, out loud when you're alone. When you're at work, you can quietly do it. Remind yourself. Take a little something, write something down that will remind you to be a worshiper of God, a praiser of God. And every time that the point comes where you start the other kind of conversation in the past, say in the past. Say it in the past. We're talking about the past, amen? Well, we talked about where we started complaining, or we might have started groaning or griping. Look at that card. It'll be right there saying, praise God anyway. Praise God anyway. Praise God anyway. Praise God anyway. Gradually, as you begin to cultivate that, you'll become a praiser and a worshiper of God. And people wonder why you're so happy. It's because you're a worshiper. You've decided to be a worshiper. You've decided to be a praiser. People wonder, how'd you get through what you're going through? I'm a worshiper and a praiser of God. I'm a worshiper and a praiser of God. I'm a worshiper and a praiser of God. I just praised Him until the answer came. I just worshiped Him because He's so good all the time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Trust you got something tonight. Look at your neighbor and tell him, decide. Decide. Say it all over the place. Decide to be a worshiper. Decide to be a praiser. Hallelujah. Amen. If you are here tonight, and you need prayer for any reason, that's why these ladies are here and these gentlemen over here. And we invite you to come. If you need Christ as your Savior, or you need to rededicate your life, or you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, tonight is a night when you can come. These people are standing here waiting, ready for you to change your life. If you're sick and tired of the way your life has been, these people can help you to get a new life in God. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're thankful for you being here tonight. Those first-time guests that are here tonight, we want to thank you again for coming to the service tonight. And Connection Team, if you would go and help those people get their wonderful gift that's been prepared for you, and they'll get that for you, and you'll be blessed for it. Let's give our first-time guests a great big hand again. We want to thank you for being here tonight and blessing them, and we want all of you to continue being a worshiper and a praiser this week. Amen. Have a great week of worshiping and praising God. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to come into something that you maybe didn't realize was just not, you were so close to it, but it seemed so far away. But really, you were just praise and worship away. Amen. Glory to God. God bless you. Shake hands with several people. Show yourself friendly. Let them know that you're glad they're here tonight, that you came tonight, and tell them, wish them a good week. God bless you. Wednesday night, Hour of Power, and be right here at 7 p.m. is when that's going to be starting. God bless you.